Year and just minor nagging stuff, just rest for them. You know.
Yeah.
And Dylan starts tonight? Or?
Dylan will start tonight, yes.
You know, we've talked about a lot about different guys and awards. Someone whose name hasn't been mentioned a lot, and probably should be, is Brian Wright. What's it like working with him and just the job that he's done putting all this together very methodically?
Yeah, he's... been the leader of our roster construction and a lot of things that are at the foundational level of our organization from top to bottom. And he's someone that I'm very fortunate to have as my boss and someone to work with and partner with. And he's a great man and he is a great leader and he does a great job of galvanizing people in a very understated way.
What's it like to work with him on a personal level? He's very quiet, doesn't like a lot of attention.
Yeah, that's, I think, you know, public. Brian, we're fortunate we joined the organization at the same time. Mm-hmm. I joined the Austin Spurs, but still joined the organization. So our paths have very different points, maybe. From the outside, our journeys were probably very similar, even parallel at times, even though our titles weren't. So to me, I'm fortunate that we have a personal history and a personal relationship that I think allows us to have honest conversations and trust each other and hopefully, you know, agree, disagree, and then align.
Hey, Coach, I know when you plan a team like Memphis with the roster just turning over, I know you tell your team to try to be professional and take you know, don't take them for granted. So, but how do you make the drill that in, though? You know,
allude to when they just beat Denver a couple games ago. Memphis is playing hard. You see it all over the league. Later in the season, there is some volatility for some rosters, and there's a lot of circumstances that can go into that. But this team, no matter who's played or start for them, has played hard and been very, very competitive, and we would expect nothing else tonight.
Mitch, Vic's got a ton of highlight plays. Can you, I guess, tell me about a couple of your favorite ones?
Yeah, my favorite Victor plays typically start with him in a defensive stance. And I say that because when you really watch the film, when he's in a stance, that typically means he's switched on mentally, so he's probably communicating. He's probably doing two or three things at once in terms of connecting our team defense, deterring at least one, if not multiple players on the other team, and controlling the whole game just by that presence. And then that leads to either a rebound or a block that he continues to gain possession of and leads the break. And as we sprint and transition from defense to offense, he throws an absolute strike to one of his teammates for a three-point shot. Every now and then he gets it back for a dunk, but I think those wow highlights get so much attention. I think the other plays are just as impressive, and I think just to make sure, and maybe this is a little coach speak, but just that we celebrate some of that stuff too, because that is still just as rare air as some of the wow highlights. So I think to me, that sequence at times can blow you away, and maybe we are starting at times to even not allow it to blow us away, and that's not doing that player sequence justice.
It's funny, Dennis said the same exact same thing you said.
Good.
He was being coached.
Or he was getting the three on the other end, so you remember that.
Coach, the league started talking today about expansion and obviously the ties to Seattle. Your thoughts on the expansion and how that's important to those cities?
Yeah, I think, you know, Seattle and Vegas are two basketball hotbeds that it would only take you one event or experience in each of those cities to understand why they would be a good fit for having an NBA team. Obviously, yeah, my ties in history with Seattle are deep, and it's crazy that I now know a generation of kids that haven't had an NBA team in their city when I had such an intimate relationship with that organization. In terms of the business part and the actual expansion for the league, you know, anytime we grow the league or expose different parts of the country and the world to our brand and these great players that are leading, growing the game, I think it's a positive. And obviously, you know, Adam Silver and his crew will do all the due diligence and do all the hard work. But I won't be mad at adding a road trip to Seattle and Vegas, selfishly.
Also in the news, the union made it clear that they would like to see the 65-game rule amended. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, because I don't have a solution. I do think it stinks in terms of when you get into the weeds, there are obviously cases and circumstances where you feel like that's not fair. So I would hope that there's a way to eliminate that when you've, and that's still an opinion, but it seems to be when there's wide public shared opinion that something's unfair for an individual that maybe they deserved. That bums me out just because I know how much these guys put in the work. And so for an arbitrary number like 65 games to be the cutoff, if someone plays 64 games, that means they're not as deserving as someone plays 65 games. I say all that to say I don't know what the solution is. You know, maybe that rule has gotten to a point where it's raised an awareness that maybe it can at least help. I think probably what the true spirit of the rule originally was put in place for, and maybe it can still carry that sentiment without being a hard line rule. But it's a really tricky, slippery slope, and I'm glad I don't have to be the decision maker on it.
Thank you, Coach.